Thank you, Calvin Moses. That was beautiful. Good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to the first Sunday in January, the Sunday of Epiphany. And I want to welcome you to the House of Faith, the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. It's great to know that you're all out there watching us this morning and joining us in our first service of the new year. Couple of announcements. Please remember to come to the office. I did pick up my offertory envelopes this morning when I was here, and they are available for you so you can continue with your tithing through 2021. Also on Tuesday, this Tuesday, January 5th, the Reverend Dina Barwick will be presenting starting her Bible study, and the information for that can be found on the webpage for the church. But I'd like to share that for those of you that have not done an inductive study before, Dina is offering a 1 o'clock introductory session to go through the process. So if you need a refresher, or if this will be your first time joining Dina for one of her Bible studies, I encourage you to consider the 1 o'clock time. Otherwise, we will start the Bible study at 2. It is available for people to come to the Camellia Room, socially distanced with your mask, or you can do that on Zoom, and the links can be found on our website. And I think that's it for announcements. So if you'd please join me for the call to worship. O God, you made of one blood all nations, and by a star in the east revealed to all peoples him whose name is Emmanuel. Enable us to proclaim his unsearchable riches, that all may brook to him light and bow be before the brightness of his rising. Amen. Our first hymn is There's a Song in the Air, number 249, verses 1 through 3.
There's a song in the air, there's a smile in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry, and the star rains his fire while the beautiful sing, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy of the wonderful birth, for the virgin's sweet boy, he's the Lord of the earth. Now the star ranges high while the beautiful sing, for the men Bethlehem cradles a king. In the light of that star lie the ages in pearl, and the song from afar has swept over the world. Every hearth is aflame, and the beautiful the homes of the nations that Jesus is King.
I'd like to remind everyone that we are a house of faith and we have a powerful prayer ministry here. So please, if you have joys and concerns that you would like to have our congregation rejoice in, or prayers that you need for yourself or those that you love, those that you know, please contact the office. The office is open again starting Monday, so you can do that through phone call or an email, so we can make sure that we keep all of those near and dear to our hearts and those people that we need to have prayer for. And if you would now join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we consistently worry about what tomorrows would bring and allow uncertainties to weaken our faith in you. Surely you are always with us through good and bad times. Lead us into peace, knowing that you are the all-sufficient provider. Grant us wisdom to follow your lead, for your direct our steps that we may arrive at your heaven. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Again, this is our silent fellowship with our precious Lord as we are going into the time of prayer. And let us continue to uphold our loved ones. God has special purpose when He places our loved one in our life circle. So let us continue to uphold them in our prayers through this new year. Let us continue to uphold all those who are battling this terrible virus. And as we know, all those doctors and nurses, medical professionals are at the verge of breaking down. So we want to give them our spiritual and moral support. And those who are assisting the patients and those who are transporting them to hospital back and forth. And there are so many people in this cold winter who are suffering because of the job issues, all the other issues they are dealing with. So we have a lot of people in our hearts to pray for. So let us go to the Lord in prayer, in silence. Lord, we are so grateful that we begin this new year by acknowledging who you are and who we are before you. You are our great shepherd. You have led us safely this far, and you will continue to lead us on during this new year. So we trust in your loving care. We trust in your provision. We trust in your guidance. And as we trust in you, we can face the future unafraid, even though the future is always filled with uncertainties. We can boldly step forward and face our realities. And whatever the form, the challenge may come to us, we can face them, and we can handle them, and we can be victorious with your help. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us worshiping with us this morning, and all those people that you have placed in our heart, in our lives. We ask you, O Lord, to give us this assurance that comes from your Holy Spirit, that our heart may know, that our spirit may feel that you are with us. You are walking the journey with us. You are holding our hand, walking side by side, that we may not falter, we may not be disappointed, that we may not fall down, but we may continue on. So give us the strength, give us the encouragement that we may fight on during this year. And we know, O Lord, in the end, we will all be victorious. However disappointing, discouraging, disheartening life situation may seem, we will all be victorious with you. So, Lord, we begin this new year as we trust in you, trust in your power, trust in your faithfulness, trust in your steadfast love. So we open our hearts, our lives. We give our hands unto you, O Lord, so that you may hold us securely, that you may have everything under your control, that you may continue to lead us. And when you do that, we will yield to your lead, we'll humbly follow your guidance, and, O Lord, we will all be guided all throughout this year by your hand. So we acknowledge that you are our great shepherd at the beginning of this new year. And we are your sheep. And our life is secured as long as we give ourselves unto your sovereign power, to your guiding hand. And we ask you to bless our loved one the same as we are blessed, so that they too may face these uncertainties with the assurance of your presence in their lives. We ask you to give us the wisdom and strength to continue to engage in this life's endless battle and experience victories, O Lord. We believe that you will help us to defeat this terrible virus eventually, that we will recover the normalcy that we used to enjoy. So, Lord, we come to you asking your protection and your blessing upon us. We uphold our loved ones, our church, and churches everywhere, the people in our communities, in our states, in our nation, and the world. And acknowledge that you have everything in your hand, O Lord. And you have a wonderful plan for us, and we ask you to fulfill that plan during this year. So as we open our hearts unto you, that you may come and have the full control over our lives, we once more yield to that plan, yield to your will, and pray, Lord, you continue to use us, continue to glorify your name by our services. So now we join our hearts praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we will go to our next hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 251.
tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While the shepherds kept their watching of silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds fear and tremble when low above the earth rang out the angels' chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in your lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blesses Christmas morn. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8 through 20, and it can be found on page 58 in the New Testament. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in the bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known that what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all those words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Happy New Year greetings to each and every one of you, and I wish that you will have a wonderful, happy, and healthy New Year. I send warm greetings from this beautifully lit sanctuary, still with the Christmas decorations, And I know all of you miss worshiping in this beautiful sanctuary, but the good news is the time is coming. The vaccines are available and out there. Becky, my wife, just got the vaccine this past week. And she said she had a very mild symptom of flu and nothing else. And eventually, the vaccines will become available for all of us as well. So that's a great news. And we hope and pray that this year is going to be a wonderful year of recovery. When he was 88 years old, the late Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once found himself on a train. When the conductor came by, Justice Holmes couldn't find his ticket, and he seemed terribly upset. He searched all of his pockets and fumbled through his wallet without success. Having watched the trouble, the conductor did not want to embarrass the man of the high status and honor for a mere ticket. There was no question that he purchased it, and the conductor wanted him to enjoy the trip and said, "Don't worry, Mr. Holmes. The Pennsylvania Railroad will be happy to trust you. After you reach your destination, you will probably find the ticket and you can just mail it to us." But the conductor's kindness failed to put Mr. Holmes at ease. Still very upset, he said, "My dear man, my problem is not where is my ticket. The problem is where am I going?" This wasn't a question just for the former justice. This is a question that everyone asks. Where are we headed during the new year? The year 2020 had been incredibly challenging with the pandemic. I give God praise for protection and sustenance, and also for vaccines that were quickly developed and have been made available. Reports now say that the vaccines are not being produced as fast as they are predicted. When would we recover normalcy this year? Or is it at all possible? Is economy going to recover, or are we headed for depression? The nativity scene gives answers to these questions. So let us look at how it does. The nativity scene picturesquely illustrates who were present at the animal stall in Bethlehem. They were Joseph, Mary, the three magi, and the shepherd. We are familiar with Christmas stories around the holy parents and the magi, but not as much with the shepherd. Joseph and Mary were chosen to be Christ's earthly parents with their extremely devout faith and dedication to God. The Magi were Gentiles, but were very wise to read the signs of heaven. They were guided by the star of the King of Israel to arrive at his birthplace and presented Jesus with gifts, which imply that Jesus came as king, priest, and savior, not only for the people of Israel, but for the entire world. How about the shepherd? They did not belong to any highly esteemed social or religious rank as the king's council, like the Magi. During the time of Christ, shepherds belonged to the bottom rank of society without any social nobility. They were despised the same as tax collectors and dung sweepers war. There were once times when shepherds were highly regarded. Hebrew ancestors were nomad. Their main livelihood was raising livestock. Basically, in the ancient nomadic societies, everyone was a shepherd. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three prominent patriarchs of Israel, were all very wealthy nomads. This was changed when Israel moved to Egypt, which was an agricultural society. The farmers in Egypt looked down on shepherds. Genesis 46 records, "Every shepherd is detestable to the Egyptians." It was why Pharaoh allowed Joseph's families to settle in the region of Goshen, because the area was away from Egyptians' residence. Living in Egypt brought a huge shift in cultural values for Israel. Sheep and goats used to be very essential, not only for their diet, but also for practice of their faith. Egyptians did not believe in Hebrew God, and those animals were not as useful. After the slavery in Egypt, Israel came back to Palestine. The promised land was divided among the 12 tribes, and they began farming in that fertile land. So shepherding became less important and continued to decline. A book called Jerusalem in the Time of Jesus is Joachim Jeremiah's classic study. In it, Jeremiah discusses industries, commerce, foreign influences, economic classes, social status, and more. He notes that the rabbis ask with amazement how, in view of the despicable nature of shepherd, one can explain why God was called my shepherd in Psalm 23. So what is the significance of the presence of shepherd at the scene of nativity? From this historical background, it means that sinners, the despised, and the alienated were invited to Jesus' birth. It was why Christmas occurred. Jesus came to save them. There are some more aspects of the presence of shepherd in Bethlehem. Even though people would have looked down upon the social status of shepherd, shepherding itself was an admirable function. In the Old Testament, the word shepherd was repeatedly used as a synonym for taking good care of people with steadfastness and faithfulness. With this reason, God is illustrated as a shepherd, and also the word was used for a good leadership in Israel. When David was anointed to be king over Israel, God spoke through Samuel, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler." The quote of Matthew's gospel from Micah's prophecy on the Messiah emphasized on the role of the Messiah as a shepherd. The book of Micah says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler." Over Israel. And Matthew 2:6 added the verb shepherd to the prophecy and says, "A ruler who will shepherd my people Israel," which makes a perfect sense. In John's gospel, Jesus identified himself as a good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. The presence of shepherd in Bethlehem speaks of this apparent truth that Jesus came as a great shepherd. Even those poor shepherds recognized Jesus as their true shepherd. The book of Hebrews gave Jesus a fitting title, the Great Shepherd of the Sheep. Look at the nativity with this in mind. The Great Shepherd of the Sheep was born in a manger, surrounded with shepherd and animals. Being born in an animal stall is usually interpreted as the humility of Christ. But from this perspective, it is so clear that Jesus, as a good shepherd, came to be with his flock. The scene of nativity speaks loud and clear that Jesus was both Emmanuel and good shepherd. Good shepherd stays right by his flock. As a closing, let us look at what a good shepherd would do. When an angel appeared to shepherd, they were keeping watch over their flock at night. A good shepherd stays close to their flock and watches over them day and night. A good shepherd takes good care of his sheep. He carried a rod and a staff. A rod is to discipline when the sheep do wrong. It also protects them from predators. A staff is used to rescue and guide them. A good shepherd knows the need of his sheep. He leads his sheep into quiet waters and green pastures so that his sheep may thrive and live in peace. Everything is provided for under the supervision of a good shepherd. A good life is promised to those sheep that belong to a good shepherd. Let's be aware of this, though. In the Old Testament, the word shepherd was most frequently used in a phrase, like sheep without a shepherd, like sheep without a shepherd. And this was the expression that the gospel used when Jesus had a compassion upon his people, like sheep without a shepherd. This phrase was to describe a deplorable condition of people. Sheep without a shepherd do not have any of those privileges under a good shepherd. Sheep are nearsighted and cannot find pastures far away. In George Orwell's Animal Farm, sheep are portrayed as easily manipulated because of the lowest intelligence of all, the farm inhabitants. Sheep is a meek animal. They are gentle in nature and are not aggressive against other animals. If they are left in the wild by themselves, they cannot last long. Some domesticated animals can return to the wild and adapt a natural environment, but not sheep. Sheep without a shepherd literally means hopelessness. Wild animals find food and shelter, fight off predators by themselves. One good example of it is the horned lizard that uses so unique defense mechanism. In the Smithsonian's Susan Hawes Hammond writes, "When the creature is threatened by a large predator, it runs through an elaborate behavioral repertoire. First, the lizard will hiss and swell its body with air. If that doesn't work, the animal will flatten its body into a dorsal shield and tip it up toward the attacker. The predator may decide that this little animal might just be too difficult to swallow. Then all else fails, however, the lizard's eyelid will suddenly swell shut. A hair-like stream of blood comes shooting out from a tiny opening near the animal's eyelid, to be shot point blank at the aggressor. The blood must contain noxious compounds because it clearly repels the recipients. Then the eyelids shrink back to normal size. And the honey toad, its own cheeks streaked with blood, will look around with what at least one human observer saw as a triumphant expression." I mean, isn't that so clever? It has many defensive mechanisms built into its body. Now, let us be honest. Are we like that horned lizard equipped to engage in all kinds of battle in the wild? Or are we like sheep? I think we are more like sheep. What is going to happen during the new year to us sheep? We do not know. But we are certain that life is too tough of a battle for sheep like us to fight. We need a great shepherd like Jesus, who is everything to us and has everything we need. He is near to us, watches over us always. He shows us right path. He provides and protects us. Life is good with a great shepherd. So we will continue to trust him, give all our cares to him, worship and follow him, for he is the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen. Now I'd like to invite you to come to the table of God's mercy. And if you have not prepared for the communion, this is a time that you can go grab a small piece of bread, grape juice, or if you are comfortable, have a cup of wine as well. If you have the hymnal handy at home, let us turn to page 13. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to come to this table of your mercy, and we ask you to bless this time of communion with your Holy Spirit, that we may be reminded of your unconditional love once more as we participate in this communion. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I was about maybe early 20s, and I was in a small Methodist church in Seoul, Korea. They did not have the communion that often. We celebrate communion once every month, but they only had it like once or twice a year. And the communion becomes very serious doing that. But like one communion Sunday, I thought to myself that I wasn't prepared. So I wasn't going to come forward to receive a communion. So I was sitting in the pew while everybody else was going forward. And a small voice spoke to me and said, "This is not what you have prepared. I have prepared for you." So I listened to the voice, and I learned that it wasn't something that I prepared for myself, but it was prepared by Jesus. So we come, even though we may feel unworthy, we may not be prepared to participate in this wonderful love of God. And as we participate in this great act of Jesus' sacrificial love for us, let us remember once more, the body of Christ Jesus was broken into pieces that we may eat his body. And then his blood was poured out to the very last drop that we may drink it all for the forgiveness of our sins. So let us now take the bread and drink from the cup. remembering the sacrifice of Christ Jesus in Calvary. Let us pray once more. Gracious Lord, we need this wonderful reminder that you are there for us, that you love us, because we often feel unworthy, that we are filled with this doubt in our hearts, wondering about your love for us. If we are worthy to be loved by you. So thank you, Lord, for this reminder. May we hold on to this great love we have found in you, that we may always find peace in our heart, knowing that we are loved, we are cherished. You love us so much that you even gave up your life for our salvation. So thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful reminder. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Now is the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Please remember that you can bring your offering to our church office, or you can mail it in. Our church needs your continued support. Thank you.
Creatures ye below, alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
We give you praise, honor, and glory unto your name, for you have been with us all these times. You have filled our lives with your presence, with your blessings. So, Lord, we give you this thanksgiving as we acknowledge that you are the source of all the goodness in our life. And we thank you for this wondrous love we all have received from your cross. Receive this offering, bless it, use it for your ministry in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And our communion hymn this morning is We Three Kings, verses 1 through 3, found on page 254 of the hymnal.
Let us pray. Lord, we have endured so many hardships in our past, but we have been sustained. We have been led by you all these times. That's why we are here today. And we know that your faithfulness goes before us, and you will continue to be there for us. So this new year is going to be wonderful because we are your sheep and you are our great shepherd. So with this assurance of your presence, your guidance, your protection, and your provision, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and sure you believe. Reach out to others, watching from above. Oh,